Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 21. All right, there you go. And the Bible says, if you guys will read with me, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak of one to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father, for everything is in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Amen. So some of you guys, you know, like I said, you guys pretty much understand what was going on with the video that I showed beforehand, right? This is in itself, this that one little two-minute clip, I thought, man, this is what Paul is trying to say in this whole book of Ephesians, right? He's saying, become the person you were born to be. Become the, when you were born again in Jesus Christ, become that person. See, that's the difference between the gospel and religion, okay? Because the gospel says, this is what God has done, right? This is what he has done in Jesus Christ. These are the mercies you have given, right? And therefore, because of these things, live in such a way that honors him, right? But what does religion say, right? Religion says, do this. Do this so that you can be this. Do that so that God can respect you and honor you. But see, we do it in a different way because we come from the world. We come from a point of view where God has done everything. And that's why it was so poignant. It's so powerful. I thought, remember, right? Do you guys all remember this? Did you guys ever see that before The Lion King? Okay. Okay, if not, I hope you guys enjoyed that little clip. But that's what it's all about. So before we get into it, I want to remind you guys of everything that we went through chapter 5. Or everything that we went through up to this point. So the first half, verses chapters 1 to 3 in the book of Ephesians, explains what we are, who we are, what has actually happened to us because of what Christ has done when he came into our lives, and what we're not to be, and the people that we're no longer to be, we ought to put it away. But all of us are familiar with that story, aren't we? All of us knows that God has this higher standard for us, right? But what we tend to forget, and tend to, for one reason or another, is that this is everyone's call. Even though this may be a familiar thing, few of us remember that if we ask Jesus Christ to be our Lord and Savior, if we ask for forgiveness of our sins, that we are all brand new children in Jesus Christ. And that's what all this second half of Ephesians was, from chapter 4 to 6. It's all about how to live this consistent life. How are we ought to live this way of walking in a worthy manner, and how we ought to do that. And this is where we are today. Because the truth is, God has given us the Spirit of truth. And the promises that he gives to us in wisdom in the Bible. And the truth is, anyone who asks for it, not just a few, not just a some, but anyone who asks for it in Jesus' name will always be led to Spirit and truth. That's what the Bible promises. And that's why this is why Paul surmises everything. He starts off this whole thing with the word, therefore. He's giving us the payoff. He's saying, therefore, right? This is why you need to do it. So all of this that we're framing this is in the point of what God has already done. Not what we need to do, but what God has already done. That's why he can say, therefore, because God has already done, be careful in how you walk. Not as unwise, but wise. See, a lot of us may not feel like wise people, because the truth is, wise people don't really feel that they're wise. They're always humble, right? And they don't really say anything. But the truth is, we all have access to wisdom. And that's why Paul says it here. Act and walk in a manner like the wise people you already are. And that's why this sermon, like I said, is called Smart Living, right? Because three things that we're going to approach here in this sermon. The first thing is smart living is all about living carefully, okay? Smart living is all about living life filled with the Spirit. And thirdly, smart living is being thankful to God. So let's talk about living carefully. Paul writes, therefore, because of your children of the light, this is something that we studied in the last chapter, in verses 5-8, the last time we were together, not the last time when Pastor Alex preached, but the last time I preached to you guys. Because Christ in whom is hidden in all treasure of wisdom and knowledge lives inside of you. Do you guys know that? Jesus is in you. So you are wise and you are no longer foolish. So live as wise people is what Paul is saying. And how do we do that? We do that carefully. We do it careful in how we walk, but not as unwise, but wise. Let me continue. The Bible says, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand that what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, songs, and spirit, and so on and so forth. So first idea is about being careful. Let me share a story with you. So you guys all know we had all these wildfires, not this year, but unfortunately the past couple years back, we had all these crazy wildfires. In fact, one of the bigger ones, not this last year, but the year before, the biggest one in the nation was Santa Rosa. You guys remember that? I remember that. We were at camp. We were coming back down, and we're like, oh, it's so smoky. You guys remember that? Was it because of all those wildfires? So Time Magazine hired a local photographer. He was very talented, but he hired this local photographer to say, hey, we want you, since you're on the ground over there, can you go and take all these pictures? He's like, man, I'd love to. This is my hometown. I finally get to display my work. Everyone gets to see what I do. Okay, great. Let's do it. So he goes to Santa Rosa. He's based in L.A. He drives to Santa Rosa. He drives up, and he gets there, and he starts taking pictures. Well, an unforeseen thing happened. What happens when things burn? What's the byproduct? Or we can say it another way. Smoke. Let's just say smoke. So there was so much smoke, right? So he couldn't take any pictures because everything click, 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 click. All he took was black, and there was no real picture of anything. So he called back Time Magazine, hey, guys, I need your help. I really, really need your help because I need to go and take these pictures, but really I can't take any pictures because I can't see anything. So Time says, you know what? I got it. Go to the local airport. Go right there in Santa Rosa. There's a local airport. Go over there. And as you go over there, there's going to be an airplane on the tarmac waiting for you. Okay? It's going to be fueled up. The engine's going to be running and warming up. You just go over there and you take off. The guy goes, the photographer says, are you sure? Sure. Yeah. Sure. We'll take care of it right now. Just go right now. Right now. We need to take those pictures. So he jumps in his rental car. The photographer jumps in his rental car, drives to the Santa Rosa airport, and just as the Time Magazine, when he was talking, he said, yeah, he went to the tarmac. He went there. There was a small little airplane, right, waiting for him right on the runway. It was fueled up, and it was the propellers running, and it was ready to go. So he quickly grabbed all his gear, opened the door, threw all his camera and all the gear in the back, and jumped into the airplane, clicked in, and said, all right, take off. Pilot looks at him and goes, okay. So he starts and it's really bumpy. So, but he gets up there. And pilot looks at him, at the photographer, and photographer looks at him and says, how was that? Photographer looks at him and is like, I guess that was okay. I don't know. But that was kind of bumpy. You can do better. And then he goes, okay, well, this is what I need to do. Photographer says, fly really, really low. You need to fly really, really low and get right on top of the city so we can take these crazy pictures, so we can take everything. And pilot goes, why would we want to do that? It's like, because I'm a photographer and I need to get into the action, he says. And the better the action is, the better I can see these pictures. And, you know, it's unfortunate, but if I can actually get these action shots of fire burning, it'll be really, really good. So he swoops down, and there was an awkward silence in the plane. And he goes, you're a photographer? And then even more awkward silence. And then the guy looks at him and goes, I thought you were the flight instructor. The point is being careful, right? It's all about being careful. Okay? You can't just get into your situation that you don't know. Literally, you can die. Okay? You can die. Okay. I tried. What can I say? I tried. Because he was there for a lesson. The pilot was there for a lesson. Someone just jumped out. See, if you have to explain it, it's no good. I'm sorry. I tried. I said, be careful. The point is, be careful. So be very careful is what the Bible says. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Make the very most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Ephesians 5:15-17. Be careful is the two words I always heard growing up. And if you guys know some of my stories, I told you how I should have died so many times because I was such a clumsy kid and I did all these adventurous stuff and I shouldn't have been climbing mountains and doing all these things at such a young age. But that's what happens when you're a latchkey kid. You get to do whatever you want. And the reason why I was always told be careful is because I was always getting into trouble, right? And the thing was, whether it was severe consequences to me or someone else, or to both, it was always one of these things. So I always heard the words, be safe. Don't rush. Take your time, right? But you got to understand something. Being careful is not just something about our physicalness, okay, our physical body. It's not about just physicality. Being careful has everything to do with our spiritual walk as well. That's why Paul says it this way. If you really want to have the best life you can live, if you want to do all the things that God asks you to do in the Bible, and Paul says, be careful. So what is Paul saying to the church here? He gives us three areas in how we need to be careful. He says, be careful with time, be careful with opportunity, and be careful to seek God. Time. What Paul is talking about, I always hear in our prayer meetings, Pastor Howard, I need to have better time management. Who here has issues with time management? I'm going to be the first one to raise my hand. Amen. Right? I know for me, if the Warriors game is on, oh man, everything else takes second grade seat. I tell you that much. Or I forget, and not just the Warriors, any like major sporting event that my TV is on and I'm glued to it. And my kids say, daddy, and they just kind of disappear. I know, I'm a terrible dad. But that's what it is. Being good with time or time management. The Bible tells us to use time wisely. Psalms 90:12 says, teach us to number our days, O Lord, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. See, my brothers and sisters, time is the most valuable commodity anyone has. Okay, I'm going to say it again. Time is the most valuable commodity anyone has. Time is always fleeting as well. Once a second, once a minute, once an hour, once a day is over, it's gone. Never to be come back, never to be found, right? A lot of people say, man, the most important thing is time. And it absolutely is. But also people say, time is money. How many of you guys ever heard that saying, time is money? But that's false. Here's the thing about money. Yes, money is important, right? You need money. But the thing is, you can literally burn $100 bills and say goodbye to it. You know what you can do after that? Go get a job. You can make more $100 bills, right? And you can burn it more. Literally, that's what you do in life. You acquire assets and you go through them. I wish that would be a different way. But anyway, that's what it is. You know, it's all about this idea that time is so much more important, right? Because you can replace money. You can never replace time. And here's the truth. God has given us X amount of time. I say it like this. We're blessed to have 80 plus years, right, in our lives. What are we going to do with that time? See, we have a certain allotment of time. And the only problem is, what do we use with it? That's why he says, be wise with that time God has so graciously given to you. Don't take it for granted, right? Because the truth is, that's not your time. In the King James Version of this, in Ephesians chapter 5:16, the Bible says it this way in the King James Version. You have to redeem your time. What? That means whatever you did with your time here on earth, when we go to heaven, God is going to say, what did you do with the time I gave you? Oh, man, I'm going to have to be ashamed. God, you know, those probably many, many years, if you put all the hours together of gaming, I did this. Just fast forward those parts of my life. Because I don't want to make my maker. I tell him, yeah, I probably spent a good, like, 10 years of my life playing video games, Lord. I don't know what to say. But that's the thing about it. Time never stops. We need to be careful. The Greek word is exagorazo, right? Which literally means to be buy out of the marketplace. And this paints the picture of a merchant who literally goes through all the shops in this market, goes through all the shop after shop after shop, finding the very, very best deal. And why does he do that? Because he never wants to miss out on any opportunity. The thing about this word redeem, it's also in the present tense, right? Why is that significant? Because it's not only a Sunday thing where we focus on God. It's not only on a holiday thing where we think about God. To redeem the time and the time that we have that God has given us literally means every single minute of every single day of every single hour needs to be redeemed. That means our lifestyle, our daily, our moment-by-moment practice is what is God talking about. Because it's not only our moment-to-moment. God gives us the divine appointments as well. He gives us these strategic opportunities, which he says, you know what? If you just look and focus this much this way, you're going to be blessed with my spirit. I'm going to give you so much more. We will be spiritually alert to the divine opportunities in this marketplace, which this word redeem means. Because what happens in our minds, we don't take things for granted. We view people, we view circumstances, we view encounters, not just as a whimsical thing, but these are really opportunities for impact that affects our eternity. Like I said, what I like to call quote-unquote divine appointments. You've all been there, haven't you? Hasn't there someone in your life invested a time or a moment where they shared the gospel with you? And it affected you in such a way where you're like, oh, my life is so much different now. It's not go to school, get a job, make money. There's something more to it. And that's what Paul is calling us to do. Because he wants us to have this opportunity where we live and breathe everything for God. See, each new day brings up 24 hours. That comes out to 1,440 minutes. If you want to break it down, 86,000 seconds. Each moment is precious to God. Each second that goes tick, tick, tick is important to God. And what God is saying to us is, I want you to be a good steward. You know what a steward is? We like to think of our lives as our own, right? Oh man, God has given me this wonderful life and I love it. But the reality is, the lives we live is all God's. We, like I said, we're blessed if we get 80-something years. You know what breaks my heart? I go to cemeteries. I don't do it anymore, but when I used to do it a lot because I used to live right by Valley of the Temples. It's all these, this is in Hawaii, and they have all the different races and ethnicities. So if you're Buddhist, so they have all these things, but we were always in the Christian section. But one thing I really broke my heart is, as I walk through this place, there's this one section where you don't get these giant headstones. You get these little things like this. And they're just basically little markers. And it breaks my heart when you think about what that is. Do you know what I'm talking about? These are all the dead babies. And I think about them. What time did they have? Right? Literally, they were born. They took a breath or two and passed away. Who are we that we get to have 80-something plus years with the time that God has given us to chase ambitious things for ourselves? When God says, I have so much more, that is so much better. And we take advantage over and over again with the time that he gives us. He calls us to be stewards. We ought to be mindful that one day we have to give an account for that. Lord Jesus, like I said, those 10 years I spent playing video games, fast forward that time in my life. I was going through some stuff. Still going through it. But God is good and God is gracious. And that's why he says this. Every single second is on loan from God. How effectively we use that is up to us. He gives us these opportunities and he provides it for us over and over again. Think of it in a different way. Let's think about money. Okay? What if someone says every day, right? Every day you have to spend a certain amount of money. You have to spend, instead of 1,440 minutes in a day, right? Instead of 1,440 minutes, what is, you get $1,440 a day. Okay? Sounds like a good deal, right? But here's the catch. Here's the catch. You have to spend every single penny every single day. You cannot save. And you cannot, plan for future or anything like this. I know it's really hard as Asians. What do you mean I cannot save? No, you cannot save. You literally cannot save. Okay? So you're given $1,440 today. And your job is to spend every single penny of it. Right? Here's the thing. If you cannot save and you cannot do nothing else with it but exactly spend it, wouldn't our mindset be different? Because the truth is, if we have to live day by day, what happened yesterday is a canceled check. It doesn't matter. It's gone. We don't have that money anymore. Right? Tomorrow's money, the $1,440 tomorrow, is an IOU. You didn't get it yet. All you get is that $1,440 for today. Puts things into perspective. How are you going to use that? Don't use money. Put in minutes. No dollars, minutes. What are you going to do with that time? No one ever thinks of it that way. And that's why he says to be careful. He says that we need to spend it wisely. Because it brings to my next point for being careful, is being careful with our opportunities. Bible says in verse 5, be wise the way you act towards, this is in Colossians chapter 4, verse 5, sorry. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. There's this Latin term. I'm sure you guys know it. All you guys are smart. How many of you guys saw the movie Dead Poets Society? You know the term? What is it? Seize. No, oh, Captain, my Captain. That's a great scene in that movie, too. But no. Carpe, yes. Carpe diem. You guys have ever heard that word? Seize the day? Carpe diem, seize the day. Okay. It means that each day should be used to the fullest potential for God's purposes and for his kingdom. Therefore, we are to seize every day for God and make every opportunity present for it to come. But see, not everything that comes in front of us is worthy of our time. Like, if we really have to be good stewards of it. So here's a practical test that I tell you that each and every one of you guys should do. It's called the Great Commandment Test, right? And the Great Commission Test, okay? What is the greatest commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself, okay? What is the Great Commission? Therefore, go out and baptize all nations, teaching them everything I have told you, and baptizing them in the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Right? So these two questions always ask yourself. Is what you're doing, and this is anything in life, okay? Because it's always easy to know the difference between good and bad. Oh, that's bad. Yeah, I don't want, that's not good for me, right? But good is always, it's good, right? Good is good, right? What's the difference between better and best? You want good, better, or best? What would you have? Best. This is how you get best. These two questions. Great commission, great commandment. Okay? Ask yourself if what you're doing is going to make you closer to God first. If it is, probably a good idea. Just keep thinking about it. Ask yourself the second question. Is what you're doing not only going to make you good with God, is it going to make you good with other people? And if it, to me, that's the cross. I can't tell you, that's the cross, right? This horizontal line, well, our relationship with God, and this vertical line, our relationship with, vertical, horizontal, sorry. Our horizontal line that reaches out to others, right? That's the cross. So that's the one thing. The second thing is the great commission test. Ask yourself, is what I'm about to do, right, going to affect other people in their faith? Is what I'm going to do have an eternal difference? And if it doesn't, probably something you want to do. Really practical, really simple. Say it, the Great Commission. Say it with me, the Great Commission, the Great Commandment. That's all it is. That's all you have to do. And in fact, you know what's awesome? Every word in this Bible, right, in this thing can be summed up in the Great Commandment. All of it. Love God, love others. Not a hard, it's very hard. It sounds simple, but it's really hard. Because it's easy to love people that love you. It's hard to love people who, I want to kill you. Yeah, it's going crazy. But absolutely, make the most of every opportunity. And the last point of being careful is to be careful to seek God. Notice what it says here. Not only to be careful with time and opportunities, but it also says the days are evil. Therefore, the question becomes, what defeats evil? And Paul gives this advice to Titus in Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us. Simply put, remember Jesus. What defeats evil is the Lord Jesus Himself. We always must remember to seek Him first. Now, I want to share a story with you guys about seeking Him first. I already gave you too much stories about me and my wife praying for wife and all these kinds of things. I'm going to tell you something that happened yesterday. Pretty crazy. I'm driving my car. I had to go to San Jose, run all kinds of errands yesterday. And all of a sudden, and all this crazy noise. What had happened was, my bumper, it was hanging on by like three things. I've been meaning to fix the car for the longest time, okay? But really, I just don't like the downtime. I don't like having to take it to the mechanic, not having a car for a week and all these other things. So I just said, I'm going to put it off. I'm going to wait till later. Maybe when I go on a mission trip, we only need one car then and someone can take it. Put it off, okay? So we're driving on the freeway. And all this stuff happens, and things are literally sparking underneath the car. And what happened was, as I was driving, this is yesterday, came off and went underneath the car, and I was pushing and dragging it underneath. Needless to say, that was pretty crazy. I never experienced anything. I was like, whoa! Keone was in the car with me, and he's like, Daddy, I'm so scared. I said, don't worry, boy. Daddy's here. I got this. Inside, I'm like, oh, what's going to happen? I'm really scared, too, right? Anyway, I'm kind of stressed out. So I was like, I'm on the freeway now. And I was like, okay, I got to do something. So I pulled off. And literally what I had to do was, it was kind of half attached, half non-attached. And I had to pull it out. And I literally yanked out the bumper and everything because it was going underneath. And I yanked it out. And then, but while I did that, I put my phone on top of my car. I threw my phone in the car and I drove off. But then as I drove off, for some reason, once you hit Fremont, there was like crazy traffic. And like there was nowhere to turn around. Like there was accidents on both sides of the freeway. And literally, it's been all day long. We've been running errands. And Keone goes, Daddy, I just want to go home. I was like, Keone, I'm all dirty and all this stuff from Yankee. I just want to go home too, son. So we go and I was like, oh, my phone. And I was so mad. I was like, oh, why, God? Why is it so frustrating today? It's, oh, God, what's going on? Why are you banging on me today, God? What's going on? Right? And I'm being mad. Kenny goes, Daddy, you always tell me this. Why aren't you doing it? I was like, what are you talking about? Pray first. You're my son. You're my son. I love you so. So we go there. We pray right there. God, you know, you know, it's really bad, but we want a better attitude. This is not good for us. We're stressed out. My son is scared. God, help us. And, you know, I'm going home right now. I don't know where my phone. And literally, we prayed for my phone. We prayed for my phone because it fell off. I went home, talked to Connie, fixed the car, whatever I could do, and I took it back out to bring it to me. Because he was on the way back up. If it was in San Jose, it would have been okay. I could have went to my friend's shop and took him care of it. But I was already on the way home, and it would have been too hard to turn around. So I was like, oh. Anyway, so we get there, and then we get home, and then I was like, tell Connie, I don't have my phone. The car just broke apart. Tony's freaking out. Everything's kind of stressed out. What are we going to do? Yada, yada, yada. And then, so we pray. So I said, okay, I'm going back home. I said, on the way home, I said, God, that was an awesome lesson. On the way back, so I dropped Keone off. I washed up. I drank a Coke because I was stressed out. Ice cold Coke does something good for you. But it was good. So I went back out. And as literally I was praying, God, I'm going to this place. I don't know where my phone is. We actually pulled over in three different spots because I thought I fixed it and more stuff was going underneath the car, so I had to rip off more stuff. Like, literally, it was really bad. So after all of that, you know, I said, God, you know, I want to have a good testimony for my son. Keone, remember to put you first. So I literally cried. I said, God, please let me have a good testimony for my son. I want him to increase his faith that he has in you. I want him to be able to trust you in everything like I've been teaching you. And God, I know sometimes it doesn't work out that way, but let your will be done. But Lord, this is my heart, that my son would know you. I think he honored that. Because you know why? First thing I pulled over, crazy. It's still crazy traffic. And it took like 3 hours. But I finally got there and I said, if it's here, Lord, then I know everything is good. And literally, I pulled over. It was 237 exit. And then there's, after you get off the exit, there's this one little area where you can pull off. I pulled off over there, and then my phone was there. I was like, wow. I called home. Tony. Yeah, Daddy, you got your phone. I'm so happy for you. And I just started crying and said, see, son? Put God first. Put God first. Something simple, right? Telephone. But, you know, in my son's eyes, it means everything to him. I have faith. When God says, seek him kingdom first and his righteousness, and all these things will be added on to you, it's not a mistake. It's not a joke. When Jesus says that, he's saying one thing. Be spirit-centered. Be spirit-centered. You know, the Bible tells us to do a lot of hard things. Oh, wow, I'm preaching too long. The Bible tells us to do a lot of hard things. How do you love someone who just spit in your face? How do you say, okay, you're going to punch me. Okay, I'm going to turn the other cheek. Like, how do you do that? Human style? Human way? No way. Cannot. You can't do these things. Right? When you're angry, filled with furious rage, rah, I can kill. I hope you never get to that point, right? When you feel with that, how do you get back? Spirit center. Bring it back to God. Any aspect in your life where it starts to unravel and starts to get out of control, when you start losing your identity, start losing all of these things. This is why Paul wrote this in Ephesians. Remember, just like Simba, remember to be filled with the Spirit, right? Which leads to our next point. Don't get drunk on wine. I don't see that here. Some of my Hayward boys, way back when, I would say, oh, man, I got to pray for these guys a little bit more. I don't see that here. But let's not say wine. I don't see all the other drugs and all these. I don't see wine. But there are other things we put before God, do we not? What about our education? What about our wants, our desires, our prides? Right? Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. A spirit-centered life is a life that is ruled by God, not by worldly pleasures. Any worldly pleasure, pride, I'm number one, I have the best grades. You fill in the blanks. See, this refers to us being so under the control of the Holy Spirit that it leads to every thought, every action, every word going back to God. Right? Difference between self-righteousness and unrighteousness. Self-righteousness points back to you. Righteousness always points back to God. That's what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. See, the problem is, how do we live a life when the world and the flesh and everything speaks everything against us? Through the Spirit. We need to be fed and time in prayer, in His Word, and all of these things. Then that's the reality. How do you get closer to God? You got to spend time with Him. There's no other way. You literally cannot just think about God and say, me and God are cool. It won't work. Ever, 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 ever. Don't take your faith and your walk with Him lightly. It has to be intentional. It won't happen by accident ever, ever, ever. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is to access the Holy Spirit on a daily, minute-by-minute, second-by-second process. To say, God, You live in me, and I don't live in the world. I seek You, and I refrain from the world and everything else. It's really hard to do. Right? If you think in the worldly sense. But I tell you what. You know how you do it? Spend time with other Christians. Spend time with other Christians doing Bible study. Spend time with other Christians praying. You know what you'll notice? The things that you used to do, you don't do it no more. The things you wanted to do, like playing video games, it's still part of me. But it's not as big a part of me. And you can ask my wife. It's only between 10 and 2 in the morning. But that's what it is. To be filled with the Spirit. So one last illustration. Okay. So there's this guy, a long time ago, Gordon Cromwell from Cromwell Seminary. Okay? He was at the World Fair, and he was far away, and he was looking way back there. And then he saw one of those old-fashioned pump guys, right? And he was from far away. He's like, oh, wow, look at that. That's so weird. But the whole time, the guy didn't stop pumping. He's like, oh, and it caught his eye, and he was intrigued. Well, I need to go check that out. So he walks closer and closer. And the closer and closer he got, he's like, oh, wow, that's kind of weird. Because he saw this guy nonstop pumping, and water coming out, right? And he's like, oh, that's kind of weird. So he got closer and closer, and then later he found out it wasn't a real person. It was a wooden man, right, that was pumping this thing. But there was a water pump in there, right, that was pumping the electricity that was pumping the water pump, which was pumping the guy doing this. So he said, that's the Holy Spirit. Because he thought the whole time the guy was pumping out the water himself. No, it was the water that was flowing through him that was actually making him do this, that was pumping the water. He's like, that's the Holy Spirit. It's not what you do, it's what the Holy Spirit does through you. And that's how he lays it out. We have to be renewed day by day and have this on a continuous basis. You want to get close to God, do it every day. And I tell you, it's going to be happening. No more double-mindedness. Oh, I want to do devotion. No, you're just going to do it. And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's a discipline. Any discipline, you have to keep practicing and practicing and practicing until you get it. And which leads me to the last and final point, be thankful. Psalm 77 says it this way. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. You know when you complain too much, bad things happen to you, right? Christians who are filled with the Spirit do not grumble. Because what happens is grumbling becomes their witness. The world already does it. Oh, it's not fair. Right? We hear it time and time again. And we hear all these negative responses, right? Think about it. Anything on social media, like anything bad, like, man, I got to stop reading Yahoo. I'm old school. I read Yahoo, okay? So every single article breaks my heart.
Right? It's like, why do we have to be thankful? Why do, you know, I don't get it.
Because the truth is, we're not like the world. That's why Paul says it this way. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, songs of the Spirit. Sing music to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father in everything. Verses 19 to 20. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we give and we share, and I think this is God connecting us. He's saying, you are my chosen people. Stay together. That's how we get thankful, right? In fact, I'll see it this way. Anytime you feel God is far, far away from you, count your blessings. Count them. I have my life. Oh, my life sucks, but I'm alive. Okay. I can breathe. I got hair. I don't know. Right, if we're really down, I got feet. I don't know. Right? But, you know, the more you go through it, you can laugh, you can do one of these things. But these are all practical things that you can do to really see God and what he's doing in your life. Philippians 2:13 says, do everything without complaining or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in crooked and depraved generation in which you'll shine like stars of the universe. There's something in every one of us that should be crying out to God that wants to say, thank you, Jesus. Inside of us, every one of us should have that and say, thank you. And that's why in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Paul tells us to be thankful for God's will for our life. My brothers and sisters, if you really want to live to the will of God, okay, if you want to experience the will of God, you need to have a thankful heart, what I call attitude of gratitude. Simple. It's a way for us to say thank you, God, in every aspect of our lives. He made us that way, and he makes us better and better every day through his Spirit. And this is the reason we need to give thanks. Because simply put, God is in our lives. How, you know, I look back in my life, you know, I can be contemplative. I'm 40 some odd years old, so I think about my life a lot sometimes. I'm like, man, what did I do with it? And every aspect of my life, I look where there was some kind of inflection point, a turning point. Always God's fingerprint in my life. So profound that every aspect that was so important in my life involved God. That's why in my heart I can sing this as Psalm 100 says, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving and come into his courts with praise. Do you guys have a song in your heart that needs to be sung? I got a song! Right? That's the upwelling of God's Spirit in you. That's that God's Spirit wanting to connect with God's Spirit, saying, let's be together. That's why when we worship, when we praise, we feel so good. Right? After, praise you, God, and all these, after that, and raising your hand, wow, I feel like I connected to God. Why? Because you actually did what God said you needed to do. No different here. We just not putting our emotions and all that. We're being a little more proactive and a little more cognitive. Right? That's the only difference. In everything we do, we give thanks. So my last statement here. In conclusion, we can walk with God intentionally. Or simply put, we can just wing it. Say, you know what, God? Yeah, I'm going to just let it be up to you. And I say this. Why? Why are we testing God? God already proved his love for you by sending Christ Jesus. Why are we saying, God, we want more? That's where we're at. But you got to remember, there's always consequences in everything we do. Because in order to walk in a manner worthy of our calling, we have to be careful. We have to be filled with the Spirit, and we have to be thankful. Because truth is, this is how we grow. And the choice is yours to make. You can either live your life going day by day by day and just experiencing it, or you can have a great cloth of richness. Will you do it with intentionality and purpose? Pray with me. God in heaven, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, God, for your grace and mercy over us. We thank you for your love, Lord. We thank you, Father, truly, to have this attitude of gratitude, Lord. Help us to always remember who you are and who we are in you. We thank you for your blessings, Lord. We thank you for our brothers and sisters here. We thank you, Lord, for summer break. Let us have fun these next 2 weeks as there's no Friday or Bible study, but always, Lord, let us be intentional with our walk with you. We love you, God. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, be blessed.